Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
None of us want to be here, but we're here. And we're here to celebrate life, the life of a very good man.
Their family suits up with them and serves alongside them. So I want to thank you for your countless acts of sacrifice as a family to the city of Chicago.
WGN here on this Saturday morning. John Hansen filling in for Matt Bubala. And we've been having a fun time talking a lot about fun topics, of course, and all things wrong with recycling in the city and movies with Blake. We're going to take a little bit more of a serious tone and have a discussion with Chief Mike Hansen of the Lincolnwood Fire Department. And the last names are not just a coincidence. This is my father joining me, and I figured what better way? You got an expert in the family, might as well bring him in. We're going to be talking about after the firefighter death, and you just heard clips. Dan, thanks for putting those together. Firefighter Dan Capuano, who died falling down and open an unmarked elevator shaft while fighting a warehouse fire early Monday morning. First of all, Dad, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jonathan.
Is Mom sleeping?
Oh, she is. Dogs are sleeping.
Oh, for now. Sleeping. I guess that's a good warning for everyone. If you start hearing the dogs barking in the background, we'll have to go yell at Trey and let them all out. So, and as you notice, my father calls me Jonathan, as most people do in the family. So, Dad, you know, I wanted to ask, you know, we kind of talked about this, and I want to preface this all by saying we're not really going to be talking about the specifics of what happened on the south side of Chicago on Monday morning. For one, we just don't know all the details yet. There's a lot of moving parts. So everything we're kind of talking about is a little bit more abstract, things that or general, things that happen in general when firefighters are battling blazes and how those responses work and things along those lines. But, Dad, I first wanted to start with, you know, I imagine that any time a firefighter dies, even though, you know, you work with Lincolnwood and you've worked with a lot of other paramedic units across the state, when any firefighter dies, it probably hits home with you no matter what town you serve.
Well, that is true. It's a hazard of our profession. We see approximately 100 firefighters die a year. It's just a shame with Daniel. He happens to be the 80th firefighter that's died in our nation in the line of duty. It affects all firefighters. It's a dangerous profession. We try to minimize that danger as much as we can with training. But it's just a shame this time of the year, especially, but any time a firefighter or police officer is killed in line of duty, all of us suffer share our grief with the family and pull together at this point.
You know, it's interesting, Dad. I never really thought so. I'm the only non-firefighter. I have an older and a younger brother, both of them firefighters in the suburbs. That's interesting for you, Dad. I don't know if you even think about it. Hopefully I'm not going to worry you by thinking this. But for your standpoint, obviously you lead a bunch of firefighters, but also two of your sons are firefighters. So I imagine that brings it home for you a lot in many more ways, too.
Well, it does. And, I mean, that is the job of the officers and the firefighters on that department. Is the ultimate goal is that everybody goes home the next morning. And unfortunately, that didn't happen with Daniel at this point. But we are getting better. We are getting smarter about our training. We're learning more about the science of firefighting. With the help of UL Labs and the grants that have been given to them, we are learning that we just can't go by tradition anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We have to go by the science of fire behavior. But again, in this circumstance, so we have unresponsible building owners that don't take care of their buildings in a proper manner, and it probably will led to his death at that point.
So you mentioned that the evolution of firefighting, and I think a lot of people kind of just, me included, even with a firefighter family, you know, I don't know what goes into it. I just think the call comes, you're told an address. I'm sure you don't Google search or MapQuest, so you guys know where you're going in these places. You know the territory. You go there, and you run to the fire with a hose, and you spray it with water, and then hopefully it goes away. But there's a lot more to it, so I was wondering if you could kind of walk us through what it's like from when that call comes in to determining the plan and how you go about fighting the fire.
Well, we get trained on fire ground strategy and tactics, and that's what the officer's responsibilities are. There's usually an incident commander that firstly gets on the scene, and he pretty much determines the strategy or develops the goal of what needs to be accomplished, whether it's an EMS call and we got multiple patients in a car accident, or it's a single family structure, or it's a matter, it's a high rise. Every one of those situations leads to a different set of circumstances that have to come about. But the officers that are coming on the vehicle, we talk about they're responsible for some of the tactics of what goes on, whether it's a high rise or a single family, but it's how the objectives will be accomplished. So, you know, whether or not that they're pulling off a skid load at that point in time.
What's a skid load?
A skid load is a pre-connected hose that goes from the fire engine. We take water from fire hydrants or from that we carry 750 gallons of water on the fire engine, and we go in for an initial attack. But, you know, one of the things that is our primary concern is from a life safety standpoint. So it's we always have a little relief when we get on a scene from a fire standpoint, and we can identify and account for all the people that were in the building at the time. Because then it's just a matter of, okay, then we're going to be going in and searching for the fire and putting it out. But our primary responsibility is life safety. And we go on in, coordinated attack. We try to find out where the person was last seen or in what bedroom they may be sleeping in. And it's we go on in and try to search.
And that's done by just like talking to people that got out of the home that might know, or that's just from communication on the ground when you get there.
Yeah, and sometimes the police officers are really helpful because they're usually on the streets patrolling all night. They're usually the first ones on the scene. And those are things that they are very helpful from our standpoint is, you know, they'll on the scene and they'll be able to tell us, you know, very quickly whether or not that there's somebody. And so sometimes we even get that message as we are going to the scene.
Okay.
That everybody is out of the house and accounted for.
But you don't slow down. You're still going as fast as you can. Dad, can you hang on? We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to dive into this a little bit deeper, all right?
No problem.
All right, you're listening to 720 WGN. 720 WGN, John Hanson in for Matt Bubala, joined by Chief of Lincolnwood Fire, Mike Hanson, who is my dad. And we're talking about, after the firefighter death early Monday, Daniel Capuano falling through an unmarked elevator shaft to his death in the line of duty, and his funeral was yesterday. I may have said earlier on that his funeral was today. I just got my days messed up. They obviously had the funeral, and Dan played some clips of that at the top of the hour. So apologies for messing that one up. But, Dad, we were talking about, you know, you go to a single-family home and often police are there or they've already told you, you know, either everyone's out or we know someone's in a bedroom. In the case of Daniel Capuano, we're talking about a warehouse. And what is, you know, what's that like when you're going into, I mean, first of all, it's easy to say, oh, there's no one inside a warehouse, but you never know if there's squatters or people live inside there or workers early in the morning. Who knows what the case is? But from a layout perspective, how well do you guys know what buildings look like on the inside before you get in there? Because I imagine that's important when you're going to a smoke-filled room.
Well, with a lot of times in the one of the responsibilities of the fire department is usually fire prevention, and a lot of times we have pre-plans where we know the sort of the layout of the building, where gas connections are, where the electrical are. We know where the hydrants are that we need around there, the building to fight the fire. We also need special considerations if there's high tension lines in the back for truck operations that we got to be careful with. And so sometimes we do know, you know, the layouts of the building, but a lot of times people do things without permits. They change configurations of rooms. And a lot of that just goes out the window when you do have a fire, when you can't necessarily see your hand in front of your face.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, like, you, as much planning as you can do, when the moment comes, I mean, yeah, you're not looking at a blueprint in front of you. You don't got your iPhone kind of looking, oh, where am I going? What's the map of this all? It's got to be chaos. Have you ever been in that, you know, kind of that situation, smoke-filled, chaotic situation?
And we've been trained in a lot of those, but sometimes you just can't simulate what the true experience is going to be from a firefighting standpoint, because there is a lot of noise. You hear, you know, the commotion outside. Sometimes you do hear the fire inside, you know, the building. We do have some sophisticated equipment that we take in. We call them TIC cameras. They're thermal imaging cameras where it will actually look through the smoke, and we can see degree variations and sort of we can look for fire through there. But sometimes TIC cameras do not, you know, show openings that we could fall into in such as in this case. So it's just a matter of we try to be smart, you know, and stay around the outside edges of buildings, left-hand searches, right-hand searches. But when you're talking about a wide space like that, you know, sometimes you are going through the center portions of these structures.
And that's a known fear, right, that there could be an opening.
Well, and again, we deal with these hazards all the time. There's been a lot of talk about even any time we're up on a roof work of larger buildings, there are skylights sometimes that aren't necessarily visible for us, and firefighters have, you know, fallen into skylights at that point in time down to the floor below. So it is a very hazardous profession, and it's just a matter that through our training and through experiences of fallen firefighters that we sort of learn from that, and then we try to improve on that. And it's a concerted effort by a lot of people. You know, the building departments that we work with, we have to work hand in hand so we know what construction is going on in some of these buildings, but At the end of the day, it's just a matter that there are a lot of unknowns going into fires, and no one fire is the same. Doesn't matter whether multiple family or single family or warehouse at that point.
So, yeah, that you mentioned that fire behavior. That's an interesting science that I imagine is still just being explored. Because as we said in the beginning, you know, of time of putting out fires, you know, you think back to the 16th, 17th centuries, it was just a crew of people with buckets. And, you know, you're just trying, at that point, you're just trying to get the fire out no matter what, because you could burn a whole city down really quickly. And Chicago knows a thing or two about that. But that fire, that evolution of fire, you know, fire behavior, when you say that, what do you mean? Like, so it's not just a matter of fire spreads to what's nearby and flammable, or like, does it depend on like air patterns that are moving through buildings, or what the duct's situation is? Talk about the differences between different situations.
All that comes into play when you're making assessments. The one issue that we have with fire behavior when we're looking at structures right now, it's a matter that houses have changed over the last 25 years. Buildings have changed. The other thing that's changed is the contents that we put into them. A lot of the contents that we're seeing right now are more petroleum-based products and with a lot of plastic. So we're seeing higher temperatures at a quicker rate with a lot of these buildings. So And then we have, everybody loves homes with open concepts so you can see from one side to the other instead of, you know, the homes that were built in the 50s and 60s where you had compartments, you had a kitchen, you had a family room, you had a dining room. Well, all of those have a tendency to, you know, keep the fire confined to that area.
In really?
The concept, it spreads very quickly from one end to the other at that point. So these are, it's become such a science, and we've been really helped out by UL Labs with some of their, you know, experiments that they've been doing on these homes, and because they can actually build a whole home inside their buildings, and you know, they've loaded these buildings on up with furniture that was from in the 50s versus, and they call it legacy building, and versus what we have now. And they look at the flame spread and what we call flashover when the gases get so hot, they ignite going across the ceiling. And, you know, people have seen this in backdraft and things like that and smoke explosions. And those are firefighter killers. And, you know, we have to monitor that above our head all the time. So we are seeing a lot different fires and hotter fires this sort of decade and the last previous decades when I first got into the, you know, profession, you know, back into the 70s.
You know, we've been talking for 20 minutes or so, and it's easy to kind of like gameplay or Monday morning quarterback situations and, you know, and analyze these things when you have the time to look at them. But a lot of these decisions that you're talking about, I mean, they happen, you got to go quick.
Oh, and that's what the training comes in with our officers, you know, looking at the situations, making a quick assessment, reporting what they're seeing, and then protecting their crews. And sometimes, you know, we try doing an offensive attack on some of these buildings, and then there's times when, okay, guys, we've made our best attempt. This fire is sort of getting away from us. It's becoming too dangerous, and then we start pulling out and going defensive. And again, it's property. We have insurance for it. There's no sense in risking firefighters' lives at this point for property. We will do that. We'll risk our lives and to save another person's life, but it doesn't make good sense to do it from a property standpoint.
Yeah, I imagine, and I kind of teased this before the break, that in single-family homes, it's a little bit easier maybe to be like, oh, yeah, there's people inside, or there's not, because you can talk to someone who knows. But in the warehouse, and again, this isn't, we don't know all the circumstances still about the firefighter death, but in general, if warehouses and stuff like that, you may not know who's inside, right?
Well, you don't know if there's somebody inside, and you also don't know, you know, what they're actually storing. You know, sometimes when we give permits to people and we do inspections, we see that, all right, the building is here and this is the exits and all that. Well, they change things or they move things in or they pile it up so high. So we try to get into buildings at least once a year to sort of keep an eye on what is really going on from mm-hmm. a prevention standpoint. But you just never know from day to day what products that you're going to be coming in contact with.
Which dog is that barking in the background, Dad?
Oh, that's
Doug. Is that Balder?
Yeah.
Do you have all of the dogs now?
They're all upstairs. they know I'm talking with them. So they want to get on air.
Yeah, well, they've done that. Yeah, so my younger brother and my older brother are both firefighters as well. My dad, who we've been talking to, is a fire chief, Lincolnwood. Well, I bet Mom's up now that the dogs are barking, so...
I think she can work through that.
Yeah. Anyways, Dad, thanks so much for joining us and giving us a little level of expertise here. I think our listeners and myself appreciate it. Thanks for all you do, and thanks for joining us here on 720 WGN. This was kind of fun.
Yeah, it was. It was. Good luck, and I'm going to bed.
All right. I'll talk to you soon, Dad. Bye.
Okay, bye.
All right, we got to take a quick break. News after this on 720 WGN.